Peter 1, and I mentioned to read it if you get a chance. We start out, and it's a passage that the main part of this, like add to your faith, virtue, and all this, most of us learned this when I was a kid and in class. Now, I didn't do a very good job following it, but nevertheless, it's a passage that we use often right here. And it's a passage that Chuck refuses to get very far more than a verse or two into because he was saving it for me to do this lesson. He wanted to ask me to do this. So we're going to read 2 Peter 1, and we're going to read just a few verses. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Knowledge of God, listen to that. And of Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, has given us unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so it starts in verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence. Now, in our study tonight with the men's class, we talked about diligence. Diligence covers a lot of territory, and there's many passages about diligence. And I'm not going to read all of that till we get to the end, because we're going to talk about diligence. And if you look at diligence, now I have written a lot of the passages down, but you turn to the ones that you'd like to. In verse 5, it says, besides this, give diligence. And then I'm stopping there because we're going to talk about diligence and faith and virtue, and we're going to talk about every one of those. But if you look at diligence, you think, I'll use this as an example. Psalm 77, verse 6. I call my remembrance, my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes a diligent search. Everything, diligence means many things, but diligence, you got to really try hard to be diligent at whatever you do. I've gotten projects I've done, I've started at home, and I got to be diligent about it. I'll never get through it, all them projects, and I got some been going on for a mighty long time. But no matter what we're doing in our studies, we have to make a diligent effort to study the Bible. And as our brother David said, every time we walk in this door, we're going to hear the truth. The truth is going to be taught. We need to be diligent enough to listen and be obedient children. As you look at what I've read there, you meditate on this day and night. Meditate on it. In Proverbs 12:24, because I've got this written out, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the hand of the lazy man or slothful man will be put to forced labor or tribute. That's using two translations. Those I used the King James. I learned this with the King James, and I wanted to stick to that because that's the way I learned it. And some of the passages got a little bit different variation, but this is the way I learned it. Proverbs says, he who has a slack hand become poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. No matter what you do, if you're diligent about it, you will succeed in that project, whatever it is, whether it's learning the gospel, learning to teach, or learning just being a good servant of God. Be diligent about it. Don't be lazy about it. As Chuck says, you open the Bible every day and look at this Bible. Study this Bible every day. It's there. If we'll be diligent about it, we'll be a better person. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 4:11, let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Can you imagine? Now, we're talking about being diligent, but if you're not diligent, there's many things can happen. And I'm going to tell you, you can fall, you can trip, you can stumble, you can do a lot of things. If you're not diligent in your study and diligent in whatever you're doing in your life, you'd be diligent at it. Deuteronomy said, Deuteronomy 11:3, Moses to his people, and it shall be that if you earnestly and diligently obey my commandments. Now remember, he told them that, and I'm going to tell you, they forgot. We forget. We're not diligent lots of times, and I know this happens because we live in the real world. We shouldn't be like that, but we are. But so he said, be earnest. Moses said to the people, it shall be that if you earnestly and diligently obey my command that I command you today, if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all of your heart and all your soul, he'd give them all that they needed. But you have to be diligent about it and search that scripture. And as you look at, there's many, many things about diligence, but we're going to go into, remember the second part was give all diligence, add to your faith. Now we're going to talk about faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know that we hear it every time, just about we come in the door. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't that an amazing passage? And you can turn to Hebrews, and we're going to go on over to the, a little on further in the passage, because I want to make a few points about the rest of Hebrews 11. And but as you look at this right here, and Hebrews 11. I want to read Hebrews 11 and 11:3. By faith, through faith, we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that many things which are seen were not made with things that do appear. And it goes into all of the great men of faith. And you know, we learn these as children, but it's hard. Sometimes we forget because we're not diligent enough. And it said, by faith, Enoch. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's in verse 6. So we got to have faith too. By faith, Noah. You know what Noah done? By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. And all these by faith, they done this. And they were children of God. And it goes on all the way through Hebrews 11. You can talk about by faith they did, by faith, all these great people of faith. We've got to have a certain faith. And it might be in verse 6. I want to read verse 6. I done read it. It's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him by faith. That's in verse 6. And you look it all the way down, all the way through faith. You look at Moses in verse 24 of 11. He had come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It's real easy to enjoy the pleasures of sin. We have to stay strong. We have to be diligent serving God. It tells about by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith they passed through the Red Sea. By faith all these things, and named all these men, great men and women, by faith Rahab. And all these, they were great people of faith. And you can see, if you don't have any faith, you're probably not even going to be here to begin with. But you look at the faith chapters, and it's just unbelievable. I want to turn to James 2 and read a few passages in James 2. Chapter 2, 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? Our brother and sister is naked or destitute or daily, and one say to the other, depart in peace and be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not these things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? So faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. I have faith. Show me thy faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, that doth well, but the devils also believed and trembled. Could you imagine it? The devil believed and trembled. But wilt thou, O man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac on the altar? seeing how faith wrought by his, with his works and by works that faith made perfect. The scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Wouldn't we all like to be called a friend of God? Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messenger and sent him out another way? As the body without a spirit is dead, faith without works is dead. Got to have faith. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand, rejoice in hope and glory in God. Faith. Virtue. Virtue's the next one. You turn back to this little passage right here. And I'm gonna be going actually to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I'm gonna read that. 4:8. I'm gonna read several verses. 4:8. And this is talking about, this is the one passage on virtue. It says in verse 4, a chapter of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, I say rejoice. Let your moderation or gentleness be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ. This is virtue. Okay, I want to turn to we're going to go to knowledge now, and virtue the next one, and knowledge, and that is in 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2. First Samuel 2. I got it written down. I'll just read it. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him his actions are weighed. I'm going to tell you something. You've got to have knowledge. And the Lord knows whether you're studying or not. The Lord knows whether you're sinning or not. The Lord knows whether you're living. But he wants us to have knowledge. And certainly we have to study to show thyself approved unto God. We have to study to do that. And it says in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, we have to understand what we're reading. Anybody here would help anybody if they have trouble not understanding the gospel. I hope we can all be of a help to one another, because we better be. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. But you look at that right there. Just look at what knowledge, I mean, the whole Bible is full of knowledge. I can't read all the passages. I just tried to pick a few passages out of what I studied. And now I want to go to, I'm going to go back to 2 Peter. I want to read something real quick. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and read just start with 5. Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. And that's what we're going to be talking about next, is temperance. That's self-control. And it's easy not to have self-control. We can get carried away with a lot of things. I want to use kind of as an example, we're going to go to Acts 24 and then Acts 26. But As you look at Paul, and he's talking to Felix, and he's going to be talking to Agrippa, and he's going to be talking to different ones. We're going to be in here a little while, just a few minutes in this study right here. Temperance. Can you imagine Paul is talking? Now, Paul, he's trying to defend his life, and he's preaching. Verse 24 of chapter 24, After a certain days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish sent for Paul. He sent for Paul. He heard him concerning his faith in Christ. And he reasoned with righteous temperance and judgment to come. Felix answered and trembled. Now, this is Felix and different ones. Now, can you imagine? Now, this is a high up. Felix is a very important man. But he was sent for Paul. He wanted to hear him. And Felix trembled and answered when Paul told his story. Go thy way this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call you. No, I'll tell you right now, if you want to obey the gospel, now's the time. I'm going to tell this story. When Donna was, just before she was baptized, the invitation song was being led. There was four verses, and she was trembling, literally trembling. The guy quit, did not lead the last verse, and they had to close in prayer. We went home. Just when we got home, she said, I want to go back and be baptized. There is a time, and now is the time. Whenever you're ready, it is the time now. Don't put this kind of stuff off. Now, here's a man that said, when I got time, a convenient time, I'll call you. I'm going to tell you something. The convenient time is right now. There's no other time going to be right, but right now is convenient time. If that's what you got, if that's what you want to do, is obey the gospel. Now's the time. And so can you imagine, can anyone have a more convenient time than right now? Now, Acts 26, I'm going to go to that. Paul again. Paul and Agrippa talking this time. Verse 26, 27, 28. But first of all, he's talking to Festus now, Paul is. And he said, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Your much learning is driving you mad. Can you imagine? Here's a man that was walked with God. Festus said, your learning has made thee mad. But you know, King Agrippa, he told King Agrippa, in verse 19 of 26, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but I showed first to them in Damascus and at Jerusalem and all the coast of Judea and then the Gentiles that we should repent and turn to God and do the works of repentance. For this cause the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying, none of these things which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should come, he should be the first that should rise from the dead and show the light to the people. Now see, we've gone from Festus to Agrippa to Felix, and then now this is Festus. Festus made this crazy statement. You're mad. Your learning made you mad. And then over here in verse 25, he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words with truth and soberness. The king knoweth these things before whom I speak freely. I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him which was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. And Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Now, these are big notable figures, and all three of them had something to say, a more convenient time, and almost persuaded me to be a Christian, and one of them called him mad. He was insane. Okay, now, as you look back at 2 Peter, the next thing we're going to study, from temperance and self-control, we're going to study perseverance or patience. What is perseverance or patience? Romans 5:3-4 said, and not only that, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that it produces perseverance. We glory in tribulation. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you're going to have to suffer for it at some point. And you're going to suffer. And the way our nation is heading right now, if things don't change, There's no telling what's going to happen to every one of us that claim, that try their best to serve God. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We better watch. We got to be faithful and we got to be watchful till the end. We got to be diligent till the end. I mean to the very end. And as we continue in perseverance. Luke, I got to read this. Let's go back to Luke 8. Luke 8. And we're going to read some in Luke 8. And we're going to read about the sower. And as you look at Luke 8, we're told in 8:15 to bear fruit with patience. But I want to read Luke 8, 11 through 15. Got one more page here. 11 through 15. 8, 11 through 15. Uh-oh. Luke 8, 11 through 15. Okay. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, and by the way, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, but have no root, which for a while they believe in a time of temptation fall away. And that they fell among thorns are they that when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You've got to have patience. It goes right along with all them other things that you've got to have. You've got to have patience. We can't, when somebody, we have difficult with somebody, we still have to be, we can't lash out at them. We got to have patience. Romans 15, 1 through 6, we're going to read that. Romans 15, 1 through 6. And I want to read that. That's, and this is another on patience. Oh, can't find my own page sometime. Romans 15, okay, 1 through 6. As you look at this right here, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Can't do it to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification, but even Christ pleased not himself, but it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on thee, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning. And we better be learning. The book's right here. We got it. It's right here. We better search it out. For we through patience and comfort in the scripture might have some hope. Might have hope. Not some hope. Have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorified God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be like-minded. We can't be divided in the Scripture. If the Scripture says one thing, you can't. It's not wishy-washy. It's that away. You trust it, and you live it out in your everyday life. So we look at that. 1 Thessalonians 1:3 says, remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of the hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. We got to have it. Patience. Patience. Perseverance. Patience. James 2 says, and I'm going to read James 2. James 2, 1 through 4. James 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and good apparel, and there come in a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him and that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit under my foot. Are ye not partial to yourself, and become judges of evil thoughts? Never. I mean, never. We should be nice and kind and loving and gentle to anybody that walks in that door, unless they're wanting to harm you. And then you might have to pray. So if you look at that now, we've studied, we've gone through patience or perseverance or patience. Now we're going to get to godliness. 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10. I put this, brethren, in remembrance of these things. Thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the word of faith and good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained. But refuse profound and old wise fables and excuses, rather than unto godliness. Godliness. Eh? For bodily exercise it profiteth nothing, but godliness is profitable in all things. Everything, having promise of the life that is now and which is to come. It's a promise if we remain faithful. We've got to be diligent about that right there. We've got to be diligent. And as you look at that, I'm going to look at another one in chapter 6, 3 through 6. I'm going to read that, 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 6. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of word, wherein or whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmises, perverse disputing of men with corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. We all have to work, don't we? We have to work. Now we're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, 5. I'm going to read just all the four verses there, actually. Know this, or this know also, that in the last days perilous times will come. I'm going to tell you right now, we look like we got perilous times right now, don't we? For men shall be lovers of their own self. Look at our world. Their covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemy, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incognite, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and such turn away. We cannot associate, we cannot be with that kind of negativism. Almost heart-wrenching. When you think about all the world as it is today, the world as it is heading, the world as we see it, we know what's happening. It's been going downhill, really, but it's up to us to be strong. We've got to be diligent. We've got to be diligent to serve the Lord no matter how bad this world gets. We're going to go to Psalms now, Psalms 117, and I've written this down so I won't turn to it. This is brotherly kindness. We're narrowing it down now. We got one more after this. 117:2 says, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. Well, we know that. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. We know that. And we better be kind no matter what happened. We better be the kind of people the Lord would want us to be. Matthew says, and I got to turn to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. This religious leaders questioned Jesus about the greatest commandment. But when the Pharisees had heard it, he put the Sadducees to silence. They gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, saying, Master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Can you imagine? It tells you who to love. Jude 21, I ain't got but one chapter. So verse 22, it says, Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Wow. Love or charity. That's the last one. We're going to turn back to 2 Peter now. 2 Peter. And we look at this study. And we look at the last one. See, we've gone up. Now we're on charity or love. And John 13 says, Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. John 3:16 said, God so loved the world. We know that. And now we're going to just use those passages on love. The Bible is filled with love. And the Lord does say to love your neighbor. Now, if we look at this right here, I'm just going to kind of read this again. But this starting with 5. Besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your faith virtue. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brother kindness, charity. Then verse 8 it says, If these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And if forgotten, he was once purged from his old sin. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence. Talked about it the first, talked about it last. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you'll never fall. For an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, you can see from that right there. Give diligence to make your, starting with diligence to make that calling and election sure. I learned this passage when I was 5 years old and 9 years old. My Aunt Bonnie Hazen was my teacher, probably mine and Leon's teacher. But I always remember this. I didn't follow it very good, but I always remembered it. And well, I want to go back to Hebrews 2. 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. Okay. And this again, this is a warning for us. Wherefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and ever transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. We see so many warnings in the scripture. We see so many times that we have to be careful lest we fall away. So, and you can plainly see, it says in this right here, If you make your calling election sure, if you do these things, you'll never fall. Do these things. This is just many things that we got to do. Do these things. Now, in Matthew's account of the Great Commission, says, go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. My friend, we have an opportunity. We've gone through all these right here, and there's a great lesson to learn. I never realized, I'm going to tell you honestly, I never realized how deep a study this was in just these few little words right here. I mean, this thing could have been pages long. I had to work on it not to make it pages long, but the thing about it, if you just look at this 2 Peter 1 and these verses, really verse 5 through verse 11. That's what this lesson was about. And I tell you, the word is there. The gospel is there. It's taught every time the doors are open in this building. And we're mighty pleased to be here. And I'm thankful that the elders has given us men an opportunity to get up here and study and try to learn more about what to do with the gospel. If anybody has any need, let's stand as we sing this song, the invitation song. Jesus, the Lord is dead.